I'm quite excited to have you on the show, man. So, because yeah, it's been yeah, like I was saying, it's been a few months and we've been trying to organize this, and I'm just quite pretty much yeah looking forward to hearing your side of the story, because I'm quite naive and I don't know much about the VFX industry in China. So it'd be great to hear more about your thoughts and just your journey into the industry. So yeah, just with that said, just yeah, a bit, tell us a bit more about yourself and just what your role is currently and where you're currently working, if you're allowed to say. If not, you can just keep that a secret.
Yeah, totally allowed to say. I'm not working with any Marvel,
Okay.
so nothing too secret.
Yeah.
But right now we are working on this just experimenting with Unreal Engine real time scenes.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I transitioned from Blender, but for my story, I think the first time I ever heard about the VFX industry was in 2018.
Yeah.
I just graduated film major. And I was working on this TV show that came to my campus.
Yeah.
It's Devs. I don't know if you heard of Devs.
Ask me what you don't know. What is Devs?
Yeah.
It's made by Alex Garland.
Yeah.
It was shot on my campus, so that was perfect. And I got talking with one of the supervisor from Double Negative, and like he was telling me all these things, and I was trying to get an internship, but I didn't know that I actually need to know stuff. So that. Yeah, I didn't know. I actually knew just no stuff. But then a year later, I came back to China and I was looking for jobs, any jobs in Beijing. And I was contacted by this VFX company, Base FX.
Okay.
And yeah, and then I was sent to like outskirts of Beijing to train to go to school. And I was trained for maybe 7 6 months.
Right.
Then COVID happened.
Right.
But we're still working. So I got like instead of being an artist, I was trained for. I hopped on to, I applied to become the production assistant to become
Okay.
a runner basically.
Ah, yeah, nice.
So that's yeah, because the 6 months I got, I wasn't good enough to be hired
Right.
anyway.
Yeah.
So I really want to try. I'd be in the industry, so I just signed up to be a runner. And then like I told you in the on LinkedIn, the first show I worked on was Mandalorian season two.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was interesting. That was interesting.
In what way was it
It's a very good way because like I was so naive about how things were done.
interesting?
Like I literally, I have no idea. It was like just like constant back and forth between like what the director want and what we interpret his word is. It's really like that. And oh yeah, that was the first time. I guess that was the first time, not first time, but like they were using virtual production on that. So like when I was looking at the plate, I saw like all these sci-fi city in the background. It's like this, wait, did they just shot that? Did they just build a whole city? Like, but yeah, it turns out that's my introduction to virtual production.
Oh, wow.
Oh
That's great. So, yeah. I know. I mean,
Sorry.
yeah, I was gonna say, so what were your intentions, prior to meeting the supervisor at DNEG? What were your intentions, when you came out of your degree? What did you have in mind?
I was on my major was film and digital media, and with a production concentration. But I basically wrote essays for 4 years, so I learned more on set than my whole 4 years in school.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So, but I always like taking photos and like doing like some Photoshop and making some weird stuff.
Yeah.
So I brought my camera on set every day, and I had to hide it for the first month. I wasn't sure if that was allowed, so I was just sneaking photos and stuff. And then Alex Garland saw me and said, "Yeah, totally fine.
All
You
right.
can just take photos whatever you want." Like,
All right.
So I took photos of yeah, I took photos of everyone, and then I was like kind of interested in VFX, so I talked to and get this. That was the time I just discovered this Cinema 4D. I
Right.
thought everything was made in Cinema 4D.
Oh, yeah,
So
sure, yeah.
I came up. So I went up to Andrew and I say, "Hey, do you guys make stuff in Cinema 4D?" So I was like, "Yeah, that was really dumb."
Oh, wow.
But I had I don't I don't know any, I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, now think about, no, like he was, but he's been a very, very, very like impactful character in my whole career, mm-hmm. like up to today. Like today, I every time I make a reel, I would send it to him and he would give me feedback. Yeah. And he's been really helpful.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, amazing. Yeah. How was your first job? Like, how did you get in? How did you get that first job?
So when I submitted my application on this Chinese job seeking website, mm-hmm. I had zero qualification mm-hmm. to have anything to do with VFX.
Yeah.
But they contact me anyway, and then halfway through the interview, they say, "Hey, I know you don't know anything, but yeah, this school, if you pay a certain amount of money, you can become a VFX just like you want."
Right.
And so yeah, that actually was what I wanted.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. So I went for it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah.
So then I get, so you stayed on that Mandalorian project, and then I guess when that finished, how did you transition to getting your would you say the mail was your first job, or would you say the Mandalorian position was your first real industry job?
Mandalorian was the first time I ever found my name on credit.
Yeah, okay.
So that was my first job. I wasn't an artist. I was just I was a PA. I was just translating stuff.
Okay.
So my job could be done by anybody right. else. So I didn't feel like too involved.
Okay, sure.
I feel like I was just right place in the right time.
Oh yeah, sure, yeah.
So I didn't feel like, I don't feel it's mine.
Okay, yeah.
I don't feel those shots were
of
right.
Of course, yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Then tell us a bit about your transition into officially becoming an artist at the mill.
Yeah, so I started at the school. I was training to be an asset artist, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, I thought everything would be much faster, but with the pipeline and everything, you have to make everything perfect. So everybody was only focusing a little tiny step of the pipeline.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wasn't good enough to be part of the pipeline at BaseFX. So, but I kind of, like, after a few months of being a PA, I kind of knew I wanted to be an artist somehow. Mm-hmm. But I guess if I'm not good enough for movies, then I have to be on my own doing something else.
Of course, yeah.
So I left, and that's when I discovered Blender.
Right.
Yeah, Blender was like, yeah, I can't thank the developer enough. Like, that's like life-changing stuff. I discovered Blender. I didn't have a job for like a few months, mm-hmm. and I was just like doing Blender. I was just making whatever I want. And my friends would ask what I was doing. I would say, I'm just doing this thing. I don't know what it's going to come out.
Yeah.
I'm just making stuff for Instagram to get likes. Yeah. That's about it. Yeah. And then I made a little really, really, really terrible reel, but I was kind of proud of, because I was made from nothing.
Yeah.
And I submitted it to Pixamoto. I submitted to Pixamoto in Beijing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like ready to move to Shanghai at that point, because I was done with Beijing.
Right.
Like, but if I was just waiting to see if Pixamoto wanted me, and I got rejected, but it was okay. It was expected. And then a few months later, when I was in Shanghai, I heard they closed down because they got bought by Accenture.
Right.
I think. And they were just shutting down the entire Beijing branch.
All right.
And everybody everybody left. Everybody went to BaseFX or went somewhere else. And a few came to the mill Shanghai, actually. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was like lucky, like second time. Very lucky.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah, very, very mm-hmm. lucky. Yeah, I guess it's all came down to luck. I cannot believe how lucky I've been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then did you apply to the mill, or did they find you?
Yeah, I applied. I when I came to Shanghai, I got contacted by this advertisement company.
Okay.
Because the boss wanted to make a short sci-fi film. Mm-hmm. It's a passion project, and he wanted just people to work on it.
Right.
And he saw my reel, and oh, and get this, he's a huge fan of Devs, made by Alex Garland. He was a huge fan of Devs. He told me that I wouldn't have been hired if I didn't show him all the behind the scenes photos from Devs.
Oh, wow.
I was like, it's just so crazy. It's honestly so crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, I worked on that for a year. That was like, that short film was like the first time I was like, yeah, that's mine.
Yeah.
That's like, I worked on this. Like, yeah, it's my shot.
Yeah.
these are all my shots. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's amazing, man. Yeah. So yeah, I just want to get a bigger picture of the actual industry in China. So I think, because I remember you're saying that it's quite gruesome. So I'm just wondering, how big the industry is, like, because
it's big. It's big. A lot of people are trying to do it. Like, there's a few schools, like most of them closed down at this point because of COVID. They just couldn't survive.
Right.
But like, there is a school, like, and then it was like a whole thing. Like we were in the outskirts of Beijing. There was really nobody else besides us. So it was like really this tight knit community that talks about VFX all day and all night. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, it's like a different culture. It's a little tribe.
Right.
It's like a cult, actually. It was like a cult.
Right.
And then we just got talking, and then it's like other people from like this, a few other cities were doing this. And then we're talking about all the movies that failed and all the movies that did really well. Mm-hmm. Like, it's huge. But like the working hours, it's really bad.
Right.
Like, there's really no break. Like your phone, my phone was on 24/7. Like if there's anything, I gotta head back.
All right.
And then it was like that. But and the deadline was like, it was insane.
I can imagine.
But I was just a PA, so like I didn't do any. I was just waiting around for the artists to submit shots, and then I can translate them and all that. Mm-hmm. But like, the artists were really putting all the blood and sweat.
Oh yeah,
this is. I know this girl. She's a comp artist. She's a comp lead, actually. She has this huge dog. Like, it's too big. Like, and then Beijing, the city, made a policy saying like dogs above a certain height aren't allowed to exist within the certain perimeter within the city. So she had to live 2 hours away.
Right.
Just so every morning, every single morning, she had to ride her bike 45 minutes to a train station, and then. Another an hour on the train just to get work, and then the same thing when she gets home.
Oh wow!
It was that's the amount of dedication she has. Yeah. that's like. And then I knew like all these people, all these kids who just want to make it. Mm-hmm. So like the pay was really low in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
So they had to live really really far away, and then just eat like sausage and rice every day.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's really hard for beginners. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine that. Yeah, because, oh, wow. Oh, man. So, I mean, because the same situation we had, or I think, we used to have the same situation in terms of like work-life balance, where we had a lot of like overtime work and weekend work. And it's better now. It's getting better, where the studios are recognizing that artists need to be paid overtime if there is any overtime, and also when COVID happened and we were working from home, it allowed artists to be able to, because we were working from home, we didn't need to travel as much, and we had more time to spend with family and stuff. So it's getting better. I remember like many years ago, you were expected to like just work up overtime and possibly on the weekends, and you couldn't really, sometimes you couldn't really say no, and it's just so I can imagine on your side as well. Mm-hmm, yeah, go for it.
Oh yeah, the way some of the employees at Beijing were going around that is marrying your coworkers. So everybody's working overtime, so you're with your family literally 24/7.
Yeah, is it something that, is there any leading like bodies or like organizations that are trying to fight for better regulations for artists?
No, right. There isn't one for it. It's just the culture. Like, yeah.
Right.
You can't fight the culture.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just the lot we're given, and we have to just make the best what we can do.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there's, but yeah, I guess, yeah, like you said, it's the culture is different, and, but yeah. It's best for me to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we were, when I was in LA trying to make it on set, and we're hearing all these things about the union, mm-hmm. and about like how they fought literally for 100 years just for mm-hmm. better rights.
Oh yeah.
And it takes them 100 years.
Yeah.
And we're at the, like, China is probably at the beginning. So maybe check that in 100 years. It'll be different. Yeah.
Yeah. So you said you started off with Blender, right? So yeah. Have you had to transition to Maya, or are you still using Blender on a day-to-day basis for your main, for work at the mill?
Yeah, I use that at the office as well. They're really open to these kind of things.
Right.
I thought I had to like learn Maya. Like I used Maya when I was in school, but I forgot most of it already. Mm-hmm. But I thought I had to pick it up back up. I did when it's necessary, but most of my jobs mm-hmm. were Blender. Like as soon as I deliver the product, yeah. they didn't really care what apps I use.
Right.
And yeah, that's amazing. I get to use Blender for work. I'm literally getting paid through Blender.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, what about Blender that makes it unique, or makes you appreciate it more over maybe Maya, for example? Because I've seen the Cityscape models that you make on your free times, yeah. and they are amazing. Like they're really beautifully rendered, and what makes Blender so unique for you?
It's the community,
right?
When I was in school and I was doing Maya, the thing I remember the most was when I didn't know something, I look up on YouTube, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find anything on YouTube, and I had to ask my teacher. Mm-hmm. And we have this seminar like every week, just to, the teacher was showing us all the tricks and hotkeys to use. But for Blender, I literally just be on YouTube every day. Every single question I have is on YouTube.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. That makes sense. And all the plugins, of course, all the plugins, really sweet.
Yeah. Oh yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what kind of projects do you get to work on a day-to-day basis? I'm just curious to find out if your projects are just for local audiences or they are for international audiences, and if you're working on commercials or TV shows or feature films.
Yeah, no feature films yet,
right.
But just mostly commercials and a bunch of R&D stuff for future mm-hmm. references.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't ever take gigs, because I want to save all the time for me to make all the weird stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to make just like somewhat of a replica of my street and stuff, so I can like maybe one day, fingers crossed, I can have a short film of my own.
Yeah.
But I just hate my own writing.
What's the story behind your models, your cityscape stuff? What inspired it?
Oh yeah, I can send you some photos sometimes. Yeah. But going back to Beijing when I was sent to the school, mm-hmm. it was in this crazy. If you look at the photos, you would think it was like made precisely in some render engine. It just like, it's so unreal. Mm-hmm. It's just like endless landscape of these like half finished skyscrapers that absolutely nobody lives in.
Right.
And just some half finished, some already finished with maybe like 10% occupancy. Mm-hmm. And then I believe my whole building was only like three tenants,
right.
in my whole building.
Right.
And it was just like every night, and then like when the night rosing and we were getting back from school like 12, maybe 11, 12 or 1 a.m. and it's just really low laying fog,
right, yep.
on kissing the ground.
Yeah.
And you just see all this construction going on in the background.
Oh, wow.
Just like I just kind of make something like that. I don't know. I was trying to like, that, yeah, like something like that. Just like, you know, a group of kids.
Yeah.
In that kind of environment.
Oh, yeah, sure,
it's
yeah.
like kind of like, a, yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a concept. I don't have a
script. You're just going on with the flow.
Yeah. Because I just read this book about Mad Max, right. and saying that Mad Max didn't have a script, and it didn't really have a script. It was just like, just a storyboard. Mm-hmm. So maybe I can do something like that. Maybe I don't need to
write. Right, yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. How have you taken your transition to Unreal? Because I guess you were prior to Unreal, you were just rendering stuff on your machine, and how have you found Unreal to be of benefit to your workflow?
Unreal Engine is literally the answer I've been looking for.
Oh yeah.
For Blender, there's a cap on how many GO you can have. Mm-hmm. So I have to really decide what area I want to focus on, so I can make that as high poly detail as possible, and then the rest of it I gotta cheat.
Yeah.
But for Unreal, is that Unreal? Can I curse? But like, yeah, Unreal doesn't.
Yeah.
Like. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was just the answer I've been looking for. I can just put everything I've ever made in it, and it just runs.
Yeah, it just runs it. Yeah.
Yeah, and this February I made that Shanghai generator thing, and I posted it on Twitter, mm-hmm. and it kind of gone viral a little bit, and I met a few people through that, mm-hmm. and there's this kid in Britain, he is a VFX artist in Britain, and he was just telling me that, like, telling me the game to Houdini for the and he's been helping me all along the way, and so I started to make all these buildings in Houdini and everything, and it's part of my pipeline now. It's just like,
oh yeah, sure,
yeah, yeah. It's like whatever that's like convenient. I'll use.
Yeah, of course.
Just Maya. I don't know. Maya hates me. Yeah, Maya hates me.
Yeah, Maya, classic Maya, classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, how's the Is there a typical route to entry into the VFX industry in Beijing or yeah, just China in general? Is there like a set path? Because where in the UK, for example, that usually you either maybe get into the industry through getting work experience or internship, and then maybe going in as a runner. And then whilst you're as a runner, you get maybe moved up into a different department, and then you work your way up. So that used to be the set way, unless you were like really really good and you had like a good like showreel, then you obviously you'd get like a junior position. But running used to be the set way. So I'm just wondering if you guys have a set way of getting your foot in the door.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much the same in Britain as well. You gotta start with just like helping out. You gotta start by just helping out, and then eventually you'll move up. If you don't get burned out at that point, a lot of people get burned out. Mm. Just also get poached by the gaming industry.
Okay,
because like the time I was seeing BaseFX, a lot of people got poached because just like you just can't beat their salary. Mm. In China.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, it's not the only way though, just starting out just as a runner. It's at Shanghai, the Mill Shanghai, there's at the motion graphic department, there's this guy that's like fucking like just like a beast at making 3D stuff. Mm-hmm. He worked as a freelancer for 10 years.
Right.
And then he just got hired by the Mill. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it just got to be really good, either through working at a big company or just working on your own, doing your own stuff.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How's the, do you guys have the freedom of choice with your careers? Because I know with the Asian community, like my wife is from Vietnam, and I know that it's quite tricky sometimes to like convince your parents in terms of like what career path you want to choose, because usually they like to like impose or suggest a route to go into in terms of career path. So how easy was yours, and did you have any setbacks or challenges when you were deciding to just go into the creative industry?
Oh yeah, my freshman year in college, I was an astrophysics major.
Oh wow!
So,
yeah,
that didn't work out. Yeah, that didn't work out at all.
Yeah.
So, but after I graduated, like the first couple of years, I had to ask them for money like every single month, so they weren't happy about that mm-hmm. at all. But now it's all good. Now it's all good. My name's on movies and commercials, and then like I can like send money home sometimes. Yeah. So they're really happy.
Right.
So I guess it comes down to clout and money. Like, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
For my parents. Maybe.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. So what was your main inspiration for the creative industry just for the arts, basically? Yeah, what inspired you? Like, what triggered your inspiration?
Oh yeah, two words: Ian Hubert.
Oh yeah,
have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Ian Hubert. I did my first project after I signed up to his Patreon, and then I just followed along. Okay. I didn't know what I wanted to make, and it was really hard to get into Blender in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I just followed. He just made everything so easy.
Okay.
And it was easy after I finished it.
Oh, yeah.
And just like, I kept thinking enough.
All right, sure, yeah.
And like, he actually, I don't know if you've seen it, but he actually made that one episode for his series.
Yeah.
I was just so inspirational.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
He, just him and his wife and a couple of his friends just having fun. I was just, that's a dream, that's
yeah,
a goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. What would you like to see changed in or improved in the Chinese VFX industry?
I would say for the filming, can I say money? Yeah, the money was way too low for I couldn't survive in Beijing when I was when I was working, just when I was being a PA.
Mm-hmm.
It made me feel really bad about myself. It's just like I had to act like I was 24 and so I had to ask parents for money, and the thing I noticed when I going out when I was in Beijing is I look at all the hiring signs outside the restaurant and stuff, and I just take note of how much they're paying.
Right.
Every single one gets paid more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, maybe I should go wipe down table or something.
Exactly,
that makes more money.
Mm.
Maybe then I will stop asking my parents for money.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's not.
So I would say money.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a big issue in terms of there needs to be some challenge of some sort from, or like there should be there needs to be some do you think, I mean, how I'm just trying to understand why or how they set the wages or the rates, and do you think that is affected by policies by the government, or do the studios have like creative freedom, or like are they independent from the government policies, or do they have to go by what the government sets? I'm just trying to understand how and why the law is so low for artists, and
I'm not a lawyer or economist, but I think if I want to be really subjective, I think it's just the supply and demand. It's
right.
There's a lot of supply.
Right.
So and so that's why it just like keep that. So everybody was trying to get in with, with the money I was getting paid, somebody would come along and would do it absolutely for free.
All right.
So that's another supply. So I kind of had to keep that position if I want to be in the industry at all.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just no other choice.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Wow, that's tricky. Yeah. That is tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of supply.
Yeah. Yeah. There definitely needs to be some sort of solution. Cause in the UK, I mean, a few years ago, we were having a lot of, studios used to like outsource shots to outside of the country, and it was affecting a lot of us as artists because we couldn't get work because the studios were chasing up cheaper artists from other countries like maybe India or somewhere else, and I remember there was a point where I was struggling to find work because a lot of Matchmove, for example, a lot of it used to be sent to India, but then I think there had to be some regulations and came through when Brexit happened. Studios, I mean, maybe I'm not sure if it was due to Brexit, but these days, like, studios need to first of all use local talents before. So that kind of helps, because then we are prioritized, and it allows us to be in control or in favor of it all. So yeah, I'm not sure what you guys can do, but there definitely needs to be some sort of solution and debates about it, so that, because
it's tricky for China, because once an employee gets enough, the trio is good enough, they would just apply for Canada and get like way more money. So like it's kind of this constant loop where like kids will come in and they will get good enough and they leave. And at some point, the company will know everybody's going to leave anyway. So they just say, okay, this is what you're getting. So when you're leaving, there's no loss to us because you didn't get paid that much anyway. So I don't think the solution is, it's not simply organizing something. It's because it's the way it is. And and also the politics is just, I don't want to get too into it. But
Do you see yourself getting out of the country in the future, maybe to pursue what you're doing, and then possibly to get a better pay? Would that be an option? Or
I would say when the time is right. When the time is right. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's right yet, but when the time is right.
Of course. As someone that's made it into the industry, and of course, like working for one of the best companies, like I like the Mill is like one of the greatest gear companies around. So, what advice would you give to anyone that's looking to be in your position, for example?
I really shouldn't be giving advice, but I'm gonna quote one of my favorite shows, BoJack Horseman, and that. There's this one episode where BoJack was running, and he's like, he's really retiring. And then this monkey, this chimp passed him, and then just tell him, it does get better. As long as you do it every day, it does get better. I don't know why I remember that ever since I saw it. And it's kind of true. It did get better every day. And I'd really been doing this every day, and it did get better. Also luck. Gotta be lucky.
There's a lot of combinations, right? So as long as you love what you do and you enjoy it and you put in the effort, you always get there. That's cool, man. I'm so curious. I'd love to like be there one day and just see how everything works in China, just the industry in general.
For China, it's like Beijing is movie, is film only, and Shanghai is commercial only. Yeah, it's pretty separate.
All right. Yeah. Why is that?
I think it starts out because Beijing used to be the cultural center of China. It's just like all the movies, all the like not VFX related, but all the movies are being made in China. And just by proximity, they just found a couple of VFX company up there. Shanghai has always been a commercial thing. It's just and where all the money's at. So that's why I'm here. But I do want to work on movies again someday if I get a chance. This doesn't have to be Marvel or anything. It's just like somebody's passion.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But so then the commercials, are they all just like local commercials?
Local. International. For the Mill, is international. For other companies, all local. There's some other cities scattering around. Depends on the tax policy, honestly. Scattering around. But the ones owned internationally has the best policies. Everybody's trying to get into one of those.
Ah, cool, man. Yeah, man. Thanks a lot so much for your time and Give me a picture of happened in China.
Oh yeah, definitely.